Blog Talk Radio.
And how about a mystery book, detective, cops, and spies?
Well, I prefer a cooking book with salad, cake, and pies.
I do not care for travel books or books on cooking hash. If you don't mind, please point me to the books that deal with...
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Twisted Web. I'm CK Webb. Thank you so much for stopping in. I'm super excited to get our guest on today. I hope you guys already have Amazon pulled up. Let's go ahead. And you know what? I think the best way to tackle this, you could either go, she's going to do a reading from The Edge of Revolt, the David Chronicles. But you guys can type in Uvi, U-V-I, and Posnansky is her last name, P-O-Z-N-A-S. N-A-N-S-K-Y, Posnansky, and she has a very, very, very up-to-date authors, Amazon authors page. You guys go ahead, click those follow buttons on the Amazon author, and you'll get up-to-the-minute updates from Amazon when something new comes out from her. You guys go ahead and pull up The Edge of Revolt, and I'm going to go ahead and get our guest on the show. I'm super excited to hear from her again. Hi, Uvi, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much, CK. It's wonderful to hear you and come back on the show. Thank you.
For the people that may have missed it, and I don't know how you guys could have missed it because it had a lot of downloads, but Uvi was on Web Weaver Books with us, and so now she's on Twisted Web, so just in case, some of the readers may have missed out on it, tell us a little bit about you, Uvi, and how you got started writing.
Sure. I have been writing all my life, actually, even in childhood. My father was a poet, and he opened the doors for me by asking me to help him rhyme his poems. Not that he needed that, but he did it as a way of invitation for me. And I earned my bachelor's in architecture in Israel, and then my master's in Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. And then I moved to Ann Arbor, Michigan, and earned my master's of computer science. But my first passion was always writing, and I'm also an artist and a poet. You can find my art in uviart.com, and you can find me also my blog, where I write almost every day, in uviart.blogpost.com.
Yeah, and I did put some up-to-date links on the page right now, you guys. If you're on there, you can see it. I'm sitting here reading one of your quotes, and I love it, because one of Uvi's quotes on her author page is, "I paint with my pen and write with my paintbrush," and I love that because it really, really comes out in your work, and there's a little bit of proof to that. You just won a really, really great award in 2016. Tell me about that, Uvi.
Sure. My romance box set, which is a multi-author romance novels, the title is A Touch of Passion, is the 2016 winner of the Romance Review's Reader's Choice Award. And this is where readers actually vote to select which box set or which novel they love the most. And this box set won first prize. So we're very proud of that.
I bet you are. And I can see a lot of really, really, really good stuff right there. I'm super excited to hear about that. You have some really, really, some really nifty things planned for the listeners and the readers today. So I'm kind of just going to take this back seat right here, Uvi. I'm going to open the floor for you, let you set up and explain what you're going to be doing, and jump right in there when you're ready.
Okay. So the book that I'm going to talk about today, the title is The Edge of Revolt, and that describes the last phase of life, the old age of King David, the biblical King David, and it talks mainly about his problems with his sons. He has several women, wives, and each one of them has at least one son or several, and all of them are vying for the throne. All of them want to be the next king. And the process of choosing, and also the revolt that happens from several of his sons, from Absalom and Adonijah, has him going for fighting for the survival, not only of his life, but also of his legend, his place in history. Because if he's going to be overthrown, then the whole story of David will not be told in history the way that it's told now in the Bible. So the first thing that I'll do, I'll play a segment. I have brought the voice of my narrator. We are working right now on narration of this book, turning it into an audiobook. And the segment that I'm going to let you hear is a segment with David and Bathsheba. They are more mature at this point, and on the other side of the door stands their son, Solomon, who is just a kid at this point. He's maybe 10, 11, something like that. Okay. So without further ado, I'm going to let you listen to that part.
Just this morning, I woke up to a surprise. Bathsheba slipped into my bed, wearing a soft, silky robe that glided ever so smoothly off her shoulders. I knew she was in a playful mood, if you know what I mean, because of her sudden cravings. "Strengthen me with raisins," she murmured in my ear. "Refresh me with apples, for I'm faint with love." I rushed to bring her a tray of ripe fruit. Then I put my arm around her and could not wait until she was done eating. Between one little nibble and another, she told me, in her most delicious voice, to slow down. "Do not arouse or awaken love," she said, "until it so desires." In place of an answer, I reclined back on the bed and pointed at the blanket. Do not want to brag about it, but the fabric was stretching to a peak over me, tenting my arousal. Just then, I thought I heard someone tiptoeing just outside the chamber in the corridor. I leapt off the bed and was surprised to find little Solomon there, his ear to the door and his hand tucked behind him, hiding something from me. "Show me what you've got there," I said. The kid shook his head till his freckles nearly flew off his nose. "No," he said with a stubborn tone, so I warned him. "I know what you've done." His eyes widened.
"You do?"
"Oh, yes," said I. "You've listened to every word we said, and worse, you've written it."
"So," he shrugs, is that a crime?"
"Only if you publish it."
"Not going to."
"Promise?"
"Promise."
"All the same," I insisted, "show me your hand." Solomon raised his hand to my eyes, and, just as I had expected, the palm of it was covered with minute inky characters spelling out the sentence, "Do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires." I peered into his innocent eyes. "You have any idea what that means?"
"Nope," said the kid. "But I'm going to figure it out. It must become clear if I look at it long enough. Then I'll recite it out loud before everyone."
I cried, "You what?" The kid smiled and pulled his hand back.
"I'll tell them things like, 'Strengthen me with raisins, refresh me with apples, for I am faint with love.' People find me adorable when they hear such words."
"They what?"
They say it's pure poetry. They say, I take after you, Daddy. So it doesn't really matter, does it, if I don't get exactly what it all means? They will. But I stammer, these aren't your words. They belong to your mum and me.
Don't worry, said Solomon. I won't tell them that.
Straddling between anger and an undeniable sense of amusement, I wagged my finger at him. Go wash your hand at once, I said. What we talk about, your mum and I, isn't meant for your ears. It's private.
No, he said. Once I write it down, it's mine.
Isn't, said I. Having closed the door, I climbed back into bed. Holding an apple in her hand, Bathsheba offered me a bite and said, Who was that? Oh, no one, said I. Now, where were we? Don't you know? She said, and in her soft, melodious voice, she started humming to me between one kiss and another. Kiss me, David, with the kisses of your mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. I was about to tell her we must keep it down. Instead, I loosened her robe, and while caressing her, I hummed back. I will go to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of incense. You are altogether beautiful, my darling. There is no flaw in you. Bathsheba smiled, and over my murmur she went on singing. No wonder the young women love you. Take me away with you. Let us hurry. Oh, yes, said I. Let us hurry.
So, this is this was a segment from The Edge of Revolt, from the
Very
upcoming
good.
Audio edition of it.
I am excited. He has a very a regal, but kind of not. I don't want to say mysterious, but he has an Alfred Hitchcocky effect when he's talking. I just was like, I'm in trance and I cannot go anywhere until this king stuff, you know what I mean? I'm really falling into it. So tell me about, I really want to know about the audio process real quick. Did you have all the feedback, any feedback, no feedback on, you know, who your narrator was going to be or the voice?
Okay, about the process. So this is like a marketplace for narrators and authors, and
mm-hmm.
what you do is you place your book, you place an audition text on this site, and then you can invite the narrators of your choice. So I go through a lot of narrators and listen to the samples of their voices and think, is this one, might it fit into the character I'm looking to flesh out? And then out of those whom I invited, some of them may put in an audition, and several did. And it's really, it takes just a second to realize who is the king and who is just playing a part, you know. Just like you said, Bob has a regal voice. But it's more than regal. He has a lot of contrasts in his voice. So he can be very naughty, you know, as he is right here, which is very fitting for my character, because my character is quite a complex person.
Well, I think he's great. He's fabulous. I know that there are people that are going to be interested in the process, and I just wanted to hear a little bit about it. Now, I think you have something else. Did you have something else that you were going to play from a new audio?
Sure. Let me do this. Let's go to the beginning of his life, his youth, and we'll choose maybe a seminal moment, such as his battle with Goliath, which everybody knows about. So there's the battle in the Valley of Elah, which is a place in Israel that I'm very familiar with. Here is a segment from just the moments leading up to the battle the moments where David is walking in the Valley of Elah, it's all cloudy and misty, and all of a sudden he discovers across from him the giant whom he's supposed to have the fight with. So here goes.
The rays of the sun are painting the opposite ridge. There at the top of the valley with warm yellows glittering gold. But they reach only halfway down, way short of the bluish mist that is still blanketing the bottom of the valley. Here, under this cover, it is an eerie sight. One cloud of murk after another drift aimlessly in the air. In the thick haze, I step among the rocks and bodies, barely noting the difference between one immobile shape and another. I'm finding my way by touch rather than by vision. All the while, I am grateful, so grateful that the vultures are nowhere in sight. In the distance, I spot an outline of a dog here, a dog there, sniffing the remains with their tails between their legs. And for the first time in my life, I pray for help. I look up the slope, searching, hoping for something divine, something that will guide me, show me the path out of this dark passage. I cry out to God, bless me, sustain me, protect me. You are the only shield I have against my foes, the shadow by my right hand. Now I hear the babbling of a brook, and before long, I am slushing my way through it. This must be the border, the natural border between us and the Philistines. From here on, I am encroaching on the turf of the enemy. I stop to choose 5 pebbles from the brook. 4 of them I put in my pouch, and 1 in the knot of my sling. My wrist is ready. I peer through the mist, listening intently for the voice of the Philistine. Courage! He howls, and his voice rattles me. It sounds so close that for a second, I am stunned. It is then that the rays of light finger the mist, first with some hesitation, then with a rip, they pierce through it and are now shining directly upon him. His heavy ankles, covered with bronze leg armors, are planted slightly above the level of my eyes on a ledge up there at the opposite side. As the light becomes sharper, so does his shadow. With a deep slant, it is cascading over the limestone outcrops. There is Goliath, overshadowing me.
So this is the moment just before the heroic battle. And this was narrated by David George. Mm-hmm. It just turned up that for each one of the volumes, for Rise to Power, David George narrated it. For A Peek at Bathsheba, Justin Harmer narrated it, and I can let you listen to that one as well if we have time.
Okay.
And you want me to go ahead?
Sure.
So this segment is actually his audition for the part, and it has to do with, again, going back to the romance between David and Bathsheba. Here goes.
Uwe Poznanski, The David Chronicles, Volume 2, A Peek at Bathsheba. Chapter 1. A long time ago, I used to think that my youth was to blame for failing to understand my wives. No longer can I use that excuse, because I know all too well there is no youth in me anymore, which leaves me as baffled as ever, especially when it comes to the one woman I adore, Bathsheba. When I catch her scent, or even when I imagine it, something in me turns to liquid. Then, trying to harden my heart and remove her from my mind, I find myself confused, and the rage in me intensifies, perhaps because I cannot remember the last time I have seen her. Alas, The distance between us seems to expand in so many ways with each passing year. So imagine my surprise this morning when I wake up to the soft sound of her footfalls, which makes me turn my eyes to the wall to try to catch sight of her reflection. There it is, moving fluidly across the blade, the wide, polished blade of Goliath's sword, which is hung in my chamber, right here over my head. First, Bathsheba throws open the window, letting in a cold morning breeze, as if to tell me that this is already autumn. A smell of dry leaves wafts in. The silk curtains start swishing as they sway. They billow wildly around her, blotting and redrawing the curves of her silhouette, which in a blink brings back to me the fullness of her figure back then, when she was expecting our first child. I remember the way I held her in my arms that hot summer evening, right there by that window. Together we looked out at the last glimmer of the sun sinking. I remember the way she guided my hand ever so gently, so I could feel her skin, her warmness, and the faint kick of the baby inside her. Then the glow dimmed, it smouldered into darkness. After a while, we could no longer guess the exact place where it had happened. Now, looking at her back from across the chamber, I wonder, does she remember that moment? And if so, does she remember it fondly? Is there a glint of laughter playing in her eyes? Wrapped in a long, flowing fabric that creates countless folds around her curves, she loosens just the top of it and lets it slide off her head, only to reveal a blush and mischievous glint shining in her eye. It is over that sparkle that I catch a sudden reflection, coming from the back window of a full moon. Looking left, right, and down the staircase to make sure no one is lurking outside my chamber door, I let her in. Then I lock it behind her so no one may intrude upon us. In a manner of greeting, I raise my goblet. It is a gift from my supplier, Hiram, King of Tyre. And unlike the other goblets I have in my possession, this one is made of fine glass with minute air bubbles floating in it. With a big splash, I fill it up to the rim with red aromatic wine. In it, I dip a glistening ruddy cherry and offer it to her with a flowery toast. For you, I say, with my everlasting love. Bathsheba takes the goblet from my hand and raises it to her lips. Love? Everlasting, she says, raising an eyebrow. What does that mean in this place? I hesitate to ask. What place is that? This court, she says, with a slight curtsy, where the signature feature is a harem, which is as big as the king is endowed with glory. Glory is a good thing, say I, lowering my voice. But sometimes it is better to meet in the shadows. Especially, she says, matching her voice to mine, when there are so many others. Here we are, say I. It's just us. Bathsheba, sipping her wine and ever so delightfully licking her lips. It must be a special night then, just you and me, and no one else, no one else at all.
Yes, so this was Justin's audition for the part.
He's very, very good. Yeah, he's very, very good, too. I was like, wow, he's really, really good. These are fantastic. I am so excited to hear these, and I'm so excited for you. I know that you have so many things going on. I love the audiobook thing, but I wanted to make sure that you got a minute or two to talk about your art and what's going on with your art and your art books.
Oh, okay. This series of books, which I have talked about before, has the three novels, Rise to Power, Peak at Bathsheba, and and The Angel of Revolt. And just recently, within the last month or so, I published six art collections, which are the include a lot of pieces of art from the masters, old and new, from around the world, from the Renaissance, from 19th century, 20th century, and so on, around the story of David. So it's all arranged moment by moment along the story. So if David picks up a stone, there would be several pictures about that. If he shoots it at Goliath, there would be several pictures about that, and sculptures,
wow,
and manuscript illustrations, and so on. I used to teach art history, and these collections are something that I have a long time passion for, and they also inspired the writing. So if you listen to my writing, you can see how visual it is, and one of the reasons is because I'm very familiar with the art, and now I have the opportunity to share this art with my readers. So if you go look at the David Chronicles on Amazon or any of the other distribution channels such as Barnes & Noble, Kobo, and so on, you'll find the three novels and then six art books. People are just loving the art. And even if you don't want to read the novels, the art is something that everybody takes to.
Oh, absolutely. And it is stunning. And if you want just a tiny glimpse of it, Amazon will give you just a tiny glimpse of what you're going to get a whole lot of inside these books. And I mean, it's just absolutely stunning. Very, very vivid. These book covers are beautiful. The novels are wonderful. And now you have the audiobooks going in there with the artwork on top of it. It's just a really complete collection of everything. You've really got a really great chronicle here. You know, I mean, the three books and then the six art books that are like accompaniments. And I really love that. And I know I'm looking at the feedback that you're getting, and I talked to the readers about verified purchases. All of these are those. You guys should go look at some of the reviews that are coming in. They're absolutely amazing. Readers are really eating it up, and it looks like you're getting crossovers. Like, people that are loving the art are like, well, maybe I should read this, and then they're loving the books and vice versa. So you're kind of blurring those lines a little bit, so to speak,
yeah,
with your
and also
in, right?
One of the nice things is that when you look at the art, you see how versatile, how sometimes contrasting the points of views are surrounding this story. For example, take David and Bathsheba. Some artists see the romance between them as an intrusion, as something, you know, you have a man who is in a position of power, and who starts a relationship with a woman who is not only married, but married to one of his soldiers. So the points of view of this story are not necessarily aligned between all of these artists. And it lets you think a little bit about the meaning of the story and the meaning of it from the woman's point of view, from the man's point of view, from Uriah's point of view, and so on. So it's not like you have learned it in Sunday school one way, you know?
No, it's not. You know what it does? It's very broadening when you look at it. You go, wow, look at all of this. And you're getting all these different perspectives and points of view, and you're getting to equate those things with, you know, the time period and all that. It's just a really encompassing chronicle. It's beautiful. It really is. And I've said this before, and I tell everybody, look, if you're looking for a really all-encompassing, something that you're just really going to throw yourself into, I highly recommend the David Chronicles. You guys really, really, really go check them out. Go look at the reviews. I know readers, what they say to you is as stunning as what they say here. I've gotten messages. I know how many people downloaded your work. So I am excited, super excited to see the audiobooks coming out now, too, to add to all that. I'm like, oh, my gosh, you have something for everybody in there. And you have all your websites, your blog site, you keep up to date. So I hope you guys will go and check those out. Before I let you get out of here, Uvi, I want to make sure that you get your links out there for your websites and any social media sites or events that you have coming up, okay?
Sure. So first of all, the easiest thing is to even Google me. You'll find more than you want to know. The name is Uvi. Yes, Uvi Poznanski. So Uvi is U-V-I, and Poznanski is P-O-Z-N-A-N-S-K-Y. You can go to my art site, and you'll see my own sculptures and paintings and watercolors. That's uviart.com, U-V-I-A-R-T.com. And you can go to my blog. I write there almost every day. It's uviart.blogspot.com. Again, uviart is U-V-I-A-R-T. Blogspot is as you read it. And you can always find me also on Amazon. Just search for Uvi Poznanski. And
I don't know if you'll find more than you're looking for, but I understand there's a lot on there if you Google Uvi. And yes, you guys, while we were talking about these art books and these accompaniments for the David Chronicles, Uvi has some really, really, really incredible sculptures and artwork that she does herself. And yes, you guys, that is her picture. She's also a beautiful lady, too. So it's very confusing because all these beautiful things just coming at you. Just take a deep breath and wade through it. It's a really great website. She's got really great blog posts, and she keeps up with everything, and she's fun and very prolific. So you already know the door's a revolving one for you. Anytime you want to come back on, we'd love to have you, Uvi.
Oh, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it.
I so enjoyed it. I absolutely love the audiobook recordings. I don't know how you picked between those wonderfully regal, just really, really well together. I don't know how you did those two readings and picked one of the two, but you did a really great job. So I'm excited, and I look forward to having you on again.
Great. I look forward to talking with you again.
All right. Thanks so much, Uvi. Have a great day, okay?
Thank you so much, and have a great day, too. Bye-bye.
Wow, you guys, amazing. Holy moly. Okay, listen, just take my word for this. Go back. If you want to go check out Web Weaver Books, Uvi was on before. She's done some readings, and we talked about her sculptures and artwork and the David Chronicles. This is an absolutely amazing, and I got to be real with you, one of the only ones that I've seen done this way, which makes it even more original and gives it so much more powerful, this accompaniment, the way that she's done the David Chronicles. Three novels, six art books, and look, they are absolutely amazing. And like I said, if you just want to take a peek, you can, you know, you get to see a couple, you can click on, you know, the take a peek inside and see how amazing these are. I say grab this entire chronicle, grab every single bit of it, and engulf yourself in it, because it is an absolutely wonderful retelling, and it gives you some visuals that you didn't have before, growing up. It lets you branch out a little. It's a grown-up version of the story that we heard when we were kids, it's so well done. So you guys, go check out Uvi Poznanski. It is the David Chronicles. There are three novels, three art books. Please go check every single one of them out. They're also, she has a lot of things to offer, so go check out her websites. And she just won a romance award last year, you guys. So definitely go check her out. I'm so excited to have gotten her on here. I did want to let you guys know that we are going to be back on tomorrow at 11 a.m. Central. So I hope that you guys will tune in with me then. We're going to be on with author Vanessa Ryan. She's going to be talking about and reading from her latest novel. So you guys, please tune in with me for that. And we'll be back one more time on Friday. I believe that's the 14th. And this is our makeup show with Gwen Mayo and Sarah Glenn. Now, you guys are going to remember Murder on the Mullet Express. And you already know that I grabbed this because of the hilarity of the title. But this is a really, really well-received book that's going out, you guys. I think you're really going to enjoy what we have coming up for you then. So please tune in with us tomorrow, 11 a.m., and then on Friday at 5 p.m. Central. Please make sure you know that it's 5 p.m. And, again, I want to say a huge thank you, Uvi Poznanski. You guys go check her out. She's on Facebook. She's all over the place. Do like she told you to do, because that was the smartest thing. Just go Google her, and I guarantee you, look, when you get UVI and then that space between the neck, she's going to pop up on there, and you're going to go, this is beautiful lady. Yes, that's her. That's her beautiful artwork and sculptures and book covers, and so go check that stuff out. Thank you so much for coming on again, Uvi. I've so enjoyed it. I just ooh and all over her every time she comes on, you guys. So go check out the David Chronicles. I highly recommend them. And that's it for me today, you guys. I'm going to cut out of here on CK Web. Thank you guys so, so much for stopping in A Twisted Web, where my favorite authors read their books for you. And clothing, it's always 100% optional. All you naked people out there.
Books on cooking hash. If you don't mind, please point me to the books that